Okay, so we're in Isaiah. We're snuggling up to these four chapters that are significant in Isaiah. They're the apocalypse of the Old Testament. And it raises lots of questions when you come up to a big subject like this. And so we're going to do a little bit of background again for this morning. And I called autonomous man, I don't know what else to call it, because autonomous man, I mean by that, he is totally independent of God. He's totally self-sufficient, self-relying, and able to do whatever he wants to do because that's what makes him autonomous. He answers to nobody. No one is his judge. And we think that we see this happening, I think we see this happening in a way that we've never seen in history, although I don't know all of history. I wouldn't say never before, but seldom does it happen in history that we see autonomous man rise to the level that he is at today, which would be then a trigger for the rapture. So when the autonomous man becomes the autonomous man, the Lord will say, that's enough, and will remove us from the wrath that is to come. So we didn't quite finish up last week. I don't want to leave this left here, so we'll it's part of what we're doing. We entered last week to show that classic dispensationalism was influenced by Augustinian eschatology, and that is a premise that runs in my mind on all eschatology because we have been so influenced by Augustine, who was influenced by Plato. I don't want to go through that again this morning. But most people that you encounter, I don't mean in our church or even in Christianity, just people you encounter on the street will probably have some idea of a judgment that's coming, a judgment day, as I have there in the bottom. So they think about the world we live in our day today, and then someday we will live in another age. And if you're biblical about this and you're a covenantal guy, you will say, well, we have this age and the age to come. And between that time, the Lord will come, and depends on if you're theological or if you're not, you'll use all kinds of language to describe this transition. It could be Judgment Day. It could be the second coming of Christ. It could be just a judgment that everybody will face. So in time, the only thing that's remembered about Augustinian eschatology is the judgment that is to come. They don't know the details about it. So most people have simplified the idea with Augustine, and I maybe gave that to you last week, I don't think I have it again, where he explains how he understood the last days, and the things that people remember about that is Judgment Day, because that's certainly going to affect them. Everybody's afraid of Judgment Day. So we have this, I call it adjusted from Augustine. Now, what Clarence Larkin did, and those downstream from him, including Darby, they included a tribulation because it's a Jewish seven-year period. And he includes the rapture, which was something that's not recognized before. And then we have the kingdom, which is the Jewish kingdom, was not recognized before. And then we have the age to come. But when you get to the age to come, it doesn't matter whether you're Augustinian or whether you're Larkin, the age to come is the same. So the process to get there is different, but the end result is the same. You come to the age to come, and it basically is the same in the eternal state. So if I just show you how this happens, they added the tribulation, and we added the kingdom. So the age to come ended up being the same. The burning up of the earth is at the point of the age to come in either case. All right, so I have on the bottom what I propose is the corrected solution. We have this age, we have the rapture, and the tribulation, which is the burning up of the earth, actually, because the burning is used so many times in the tribulation. New heaven and earth, and then we go into the kingdom, and the kingdom actually is the age to come, and we would call it heaven. Remember, heaven is not a place. It is a state of being because the place changes. So heaven comes to earth, and the state of being of the redeemed will be in heaven on earth. Shouldn't be disappointing to us because that's, after all, what we were created for. And there's a purge in 1,000 years where the unbelievers, the unrighteous, are removed henceforth forevermore. All right. So that kind of gets us started into this four-chapter unit. We started this unit by laying the foundation for the seventh week of Daniel, as the tribulation is also called Jacob's trouble or Jacob's distress. And it's economic and emotional, and all these kind of distresses go with that. I gave you the definition last week. And the emphasis on Isaiah 24, as in many other sections in Isaiah, is the destruction. We call it tribulation. So today we'll do an extraordinary lesson. Now, I must have mentioned to you that there are always extraordinary lessons. They're extra and they're ordinary. The subject is suggested by the coming judgment of the earth in Isaiah 24. The question is, what will trigger the start of the events of the judgment of the earth? We have all asked that question, right? Be honest. So theologically, we know the answer to the question is that the day of the Lord will come when the rapture occurs, not before. But then when will the rapture occur, and what condition will it occur? Now, I know you've thought of that 100 times, as I have. And I am going to stick my neck out, not very far, and suggest a sign of the times that will guide us in this discussion. Now, we are not going to venture into what some think is politics, but we will talk about politicians. And we leave the politics, that is the organizing of people, to an end alone. We will not get into politics. I do not promote politics. I don't believe that we should demonstrate. I don't believe that we should be on the street. I don't think we should be holding signs. I think that we just need to live our lives as believers, and that is going to be one dead weight in the world. I'll finish that, our lesson with that later. While we may talk about politicians, we leave politics alone. We may think about the subject. We may also think that the subject is beyond our ability because no one knows the hour. This is something we shouldn't talk about or even think about, or should be left alone. But that suggests that the encouragement of Jesus and Paul should be ignored. No, Jesus and Paul both said we should be wise. Jesus criticizes the Pharisees for their lack of understanding of their day. Do you not know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? I do believe that there are signs of the times, but I don't believe that there are signs that are necessarily spelled out in Scripture. All right, so there's a difference there. So the disciples, the Pharisees, I'm sorry, were criticized for being ignorant of the times. Now, also, Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, I don't mean that we're God. I don't mean that, but we should think like Christ thinks. Now, we can't think like Christ thinks because we don't have infallibility and all that kind of stuff, but we should be the pattern to think like, critically think like Christ thinks. All right, so we have a couple of verses that suggest we're not totally in the dark here. So again, we're going to ring this question up a lot of times. What triggers God's judgment? And this could take some more study, but I don't want to spend too much time on this. So let's quickly look at former earth judgments for clues. Well, we suggest there is something in common to all of these judgments. Something commonly triggers earthly worldwide judgment. In other words, judgments that affect the entire world. We would suggest that the trigger is the zenith rise of autonomous man. Now, you usually think of zenith as coming up and hitting a peak and then dying off, you know. Well, that doesn't quite fit what I'm trying to show here, because I think what's happening is that the autonomous man improves his condition as he sees it, and it goes exponentially faster as he gets closer to the day of the Lord. So I I got to give you a parabolic curve. That would be better, from the bottom up. So it gets closer and closer and closer and closer. All right. So we suggest the trigger is the zenith rise of autonomous man. So I awkwardly try to show that here with this kind of non-parabolic curve. It should be no surprise that when autonomous man achieves zenith status, that judgment must fall. Now, why do I say that? Well, there is a biblical principle, because God says, this is in relationship to the doom of Babylon, who is taking credit. God's going to say, I, for my own sake, and he repeats himself, for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned and my glory be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? So at some point, as with Babylon, as will be for the human race, there's going to be a breaking point where God will say, that's enough. So a doomed autonomous man is predicted in this verse. God will not share his glory with another. Very, very good verse to remember. And by the way, this is in our Isaiah chapter book, in a few chapters, Isaiah 48:11. But my class will object that man has always wanted autonomy. True. But there are a few times when his wish becomes possible worldwide. This is the tipping point of God's grace. We cannot know all history. I don't know all of history, and neither does anybody on this point. We can't for sure say. But we will show that what is being proposed now is such a tipping point. What is proposed now in our culture is such a tipping point. When man is able to make his claim to the Godhead, in spite of the rocky road upward, I mean, it's not easy ascent for this to occur. There's a lot of pushbacks, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So in spite of the rocky road, this incline is attempted, hand over fist, whatever it takes, it's going to happen. Man will be in charge. So the trigger point is, my glory I will not give to another. And by the way, that has not happened yet. Why? The rapture has not occurred, so we're still here. So what are these judgments that we could look at back in the past that would sort of reflect this autonomous man? Well, Adam and Eve. Was that not the sin of Adam when he took charge of things? And he questioned God and his grace and his care and moves outside of his protection? That was autonomous Adam. Judgment fell. It affected the whole world. We still are affected by that judgment. We have the worldwide flood. All the deeds were evil, except I'm sure one man. I don't even know about his boat family, because it doesn't say anything about the boat family. It does say that Noah was righteous. So the judgment came because there was no hope of recovery anymore. There was no point of it lasting another 20 minutes. It was time for God to say, that's enough. So this was a rebellion in unrighteousness. The people were unrighteous in the environment. There was nobody that was righteous except Noah, and no one listened to him. And then we have the Tower of Babel, where they were unified against God. They can accomplish anything they set to do, it says in Scripture. And apparently there wasn't a limit. And I have often wondered, was that a hyperbole? Or was it really true that whatever man decided to do, he could actually do? And I'm thinking about, okay, well, there's a limit to what he can do. But think about the people at the Tower of Babel and then compare them with the ability of man today. Would you almost not say that today man can do anything he wants to do? Now, I know we know there are some obstacles to his progress, like he can't conquer all of the diseases and so forth, but he's in a position to think that he can. So there was no limit there. So God brought the curtain down on Babel. Didn't kill people. He just scattered them. So presently, what triggers the next generation of the earth? That's the question. It will inform us of the timing of the rapture, when God removes the believers who are not destined to wrath. And then we have one more judgment, just to mention all of them, the Gog and Magog at the end of 1,000 years. What triggers the final rebellion? Well, it's a personal rebellion in righteous conditions instead of unrighteous conditions. So again, this judgment is personal. There's no exception here. Now, the last global judgment was the Tower of incident. And what have the Gentiles been doing since? Well, have they not continued on the rebellious path? And I say there must be history here that we could spend time on. It is possible to speak of the whole world, but the Enlightenment in the West was a corruption of God-given knowledge from creation. It was the first, at least from the West, and probably, arguably, in the world, statement against God, collectively. Even the post-apostolic church got it wrong in many ways. There were some attempts to get it right, to fix things. The Reformation, the Anabaptists, the revivals in Europe and America, the fundamentalist wave were rejected in the early 19th, 20th century. All these corrections fail in face of the Enlightenment ideals of the 18th century. Those ideals continue to march on. Man's dream to remove God and run the world did not die. So the French Revolution, 1789, given the socialists, you know, we sometimes think is really off the edge, but even then yet they were executing socialists. And Germany in 1875 and so forth were expelling socialists. So we don't want to think that it was all unified from the French Revolution, but the French Revolution made the statement that man could live without God. So in the French Revolution, if the socialists were executed, but the idea of autonomous man continued to grow in the minds of the corruptors, I think of individuals here, of God's order. Unoriginal. They intended to mimic societal perfection of the kingdom. Not original. They copied this out of the Bible. But it was done in the name of atheism. And we know it as socialism. It is here that the blinded minds of Jewish thinkers, I'm not anti-Semitic, I just have to say how it is. It is here that the blinded mind of Jewish thinkers factor in to achieve autonomous man, and now we're depending on the wisdom of man. Well, the self-made wise understanding was a misunderstanding of the conflict in history. They assumed that revolutions are good to improve things, that revolutions build a better order. And this is the word for this, is dialectic materialism out of Marxism. It escapes them, but not so. The revolution failed to make things better in Russia, killing more than 100 million people. The experiment ended after 70 years, leaving the country with economic, societal structures ruined, given way to despotism is what we see there. And we were in the Ukraine in 2004, and we saw the results of communism live and well. Those people didn't know how to live because they were stripped of that ability through socialism, and they don't learn how to work, how to farm, how to make things, how to improve things if those ideas have been destroyed, which is what socialism does. So the self-made wise. Socialism fails in all countries because the life God has given them providentially, even under his curse, was still good. The old order is accepted with its perfections. Unequal conditions were explained as the natural fallen order. Everybody said that. Hard work was necessary to overcome the hostile world brought on by the judgment of God. Everybody understood that. This reflection became the consensus of the West, according to Francis Schaeffer. But the consensus was challenged by liberal theologians that started around 1850, actually 1830, who removed God as the referee of religion. God is now being removed out of religion in the Protestants. Man inserted himself as the standard of morality, and we now have the Civil War as virtue signaling how man could actually manage the morals of the world, because slavery was so immoral that it could not be tolerated. So man acted, not God. Man acted. Civil War, 600,000 were killed. Note, society is not monolithic. You know, this is what makes this kind of discussion difficult, because it's not all the same. So we have to generally look at trends. So man lives or dies for different causes. Some will go at it by trying to live through it, and some are ready to die for it. Some want change, and others want to destroy it. All right, so we have that mix going on. So the challenge of autonomous man is to be united at all costs, which is something that's always interesting about autonomous man. They hang together without exception, and they have ways to bring people back into the fold if they stray outside of the plantation, as they say. So the present effort started in the 1960s. We have peace give peace a chance, positive energy can heal the universe. Remember, the universe is the God we end up going to serve. Love, not war. So achieving autonomous man from 1960s, And I was in college at that time, and I remember I was trying to get a degree in architecture, and one of these hippies run around complaining about stuff. I didn't understand them. The pill was coming online, and everybody was happy with free sex and all that stuff. That's where it began. I lived through it. Wasn't affected by it indirectly. So we have not forgotten those days, because we still have long-haired old men that still want to fan the revolution, and they do that by resorting to bumper stickers. That's all they can do. And we have the bottom here, Noam Chomsky, who is one of the biggest provocators of this whole system, because he redefined language for us. Okay, so the revolution matures into the 21st century, or I should say the attempt. It's always there. But removing God does not improve the human condition, secular and religious, but makes managing man more difficult. It's easier to manage man with God, and it's very, very difficult to manage man without God, because now you are God and you have managed man. But we got computers, right? A scapegoat is needed to explain the ever-worsening condition on earth, which is true. The degrading God factor is still alive in the Western white man. He built Western civilization, is responsible for the inequities of the human condition. Even the discoverer of America cannot escape guilt. His missionary quest was due to the patriarchal ideas of Christianity ruining the preferred earthly culture of the natives who live close to the earth, thus guilty of acting godlike. They got to go. Yes, in spite of all that Providence had done, God and his surrogate, the white man, is to blame for the ills of society. He too must be removed as God was. Are you following this? So the revolution calls for a finesse beyond normal ability. Again, if you Jews with darkened minds who have been given over to God, Romans 1, suggest that to foment such a revolution, you need people made unhappy. This is called critical theory. This is easily done by pointing out inherent differences in economic and social status. And we call them identity politics or victim politics. These states of being cannot be easily satiated. In other words, they have raised a problem that you can't easily solve. So we need more measures, more draconian measures. All truth and reality speech is squashed. No one should feel a failure, feel responsible, or feel unsafe. And the nature of that is the political correctness. These inequities are not easily seen. Therefore, new sensitivities were developed in postgraduate courses that expose damning inequities. It is the duty of the educated, the enlightened, the woke, to expose by violence, if necessary, the evil state of Christian inequality. It is irresponsible to sit on the sidelines of the revolution. It will boil up naturally everywhere with anarchists, agitators leading the way, but you cannot be a sideline sitter. It has been nearly 200 years since the French Revolution, but these ideas began again to catch hold in the 1960s, and we'll have it again in the late 3-4 years ago. So this one I want you to remember. We're doing it. We're reaching the zenith, looking for the zenith. When is the top? Now, after World War II to 2020, let's say, that's only 2 years ago, through the efforts of the enlightened person, we never can say anything that will be gender identifiable, have been able to assume unchallenged authority in significant public institutions. They have these he, she's, or it's, whoever they are, have been able to assume unchallenged authority in significant public institutions. Most notably, the large state governors, large city mayors, and nearly all the economic institutions. The entertainment industry, the big tech, all have quieted has quieted all dissent by ridicule, by shaming, or by canceling, making you a non-person. The liberal Supreme Court of the United States began to write laws prohibited by the Constitution. Laws of the land were selectively enforced. Remember, autonomous man is rising up to do this, and he is doing this. Public defenders do prosecute small political enemies, but release hardened criminals and political operatives. Jail time is too harsh for criminals, victims of inequities of Christianity, but harsh and long jail time for those who support Christian laws as self-defense. Rationale: Christianity makes the criminal. That is underneath this whole thing. Christianity, they talk about the West, and a lot of times they don't want to say Christianity because it would be too inflammatory if they did, but it is Christianity that they are trying to dismantle. Homeless in the street are byproducts of Christianity. They witness against Christianity. Must remain in spite of the harm to neighborhoods and cities. This is a witness against Christians. We cannot remove them. A world without borders, the alien may be criminal, doesn't matter. But this is the price to be paid by Christian society who made them criminals in the first place. Then while protecting the eggs or the fledging in its nest, in name of freedom and privacy, mothers kill the next generation. Even though it is self-defeating, it becomes a noble cause. Isaiah 32:5 will give you that verse, which is coming up. Again, remembering what we're doing here. Autonomous man is becoming more and more autonomous. The moral underpinnings are gone. Truth is what you want it to be. Feelings drive decision-making. Or we are not political to call sinners to repentance, I must add here, and righteousness. Are we not the salt and the light, the passive and the active? We are to stand for truth concepts that make the immoral world uncomfortable. In fact, they're so uncomfortable that when we talk about it, we become uncomfortable. That is a number that has been done on us. I can't imagine. Now, for brevity, we move right along. We mention only a few revolutionary ideas. In the campaign for the office of the President of the United States 2008, the elected president stated that he wanted to fundamentally change America out of its Christianity. That promise has been kept. There were enough voters made unhappy to give that office to a revolutionary. And there were no subtleties in the messaging. He said exactly what he's going to do. Secondly, the opportunity to take 100% charge of the country, the world, actually, was given with the introduction of the coronavirus in the fall of 2019. So from 2008 to 2019, the revolution just could not really take hold, as it had not in the 60s or earlier. But now, by now, the world had become dependent on technology to fend off any threats to its existence. This was the expectation in culture. We are invincible. We can fix every problem. Even the last president promised to a vaccine to stop the virus. Heretofore, an unthinkable impossibility is that double negative that you should never use. But extreme political pressure to act or fail as President of the United States threw all caution to the wind, deferred leadership to an unelected health official. The country obeyed the bidding of autonomous man. And we can almost see that. One man with nobody responsible, answering to nobody, was running things and actually running the entire country. It was the economics, it was religious, it was the freedom. One man. Now, we talk about the hook in the jaw incident. I'm not saying this is that, but there are hooks in the jaw incidents in history, and I think this is one. Rules for public safety were set aside. Vaccines were developed with prizes given to companies who were indemnified. You can't sue them. Could not be sued for failures. And I'd say time for a perfect storm or a perfect revolution. Ordinarily, the virus was an act of God, considered so. But now, an act of God could be countermanded by the superiority of man and his technological prowess. So God wasn't needed anymore because man could handle it. Autonomous man. There were henceforth no more acts of God recognized, and now I would say for the first time, autonomous man now owns all the conditions on earth. Each day we waited for the latest pronouncements from the CDC for more instructions on business and personal freedoms. There were no exceptions, yes, and there were jail times. So one man is in charge. There are no appeals. Now there were other factors. The death of criminals at the hands of law enforcers were made nationwide issues. The anarchist riots followed by no attempt to stop them. Law enforcement was stripped of their purpose and dignity. Even our police were forced to apologize for its non-crimes. The age of lawlessness and the day of the Lord is approaching, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken away. And now we've had 2,000 years since that was written, and it's gotten nothing but worse. Factors such as stimulus money, paying people not to work, the firing of healthcare workers, airline pilots for refusing the shot, put the economy into its hottest inflation cycle in decades, and it has not plateaued. Every dollar distributed from created money is inflationary if there is no product offsetting it. Well, all the while, autonomous man continues to make ready his command to run the world as if divine. The reality, Bible believers are fully aware that the primary mover, using Jesse's phrase from last week, the primary mover is behind all these acts as permitted or ordered by the sovereign God, who moves the boundaries of his opposition. He's still in charge. We understand that. That's why we're not going to go out and demonstrate, because it does no good. God's the one to be satisfied. So, self-assured autonomous man has been able to minimize the effect of the fall by labor-saving technology and remedies for many illnesses, and that has given him some hubris. All made possible by fossil fuels and Christian principles, which is another study. Autonomous man, in his quest for power, promises to build a safe and perfect world, does he not? We're all bubble wrapped, I think. To this end, they are allowed to regulate everything from farming, mining, manufacturing, transportation, and delivery, exchanging freedom for a promising, safe, long, equally happy life for all. And I might add, that's boring. Amen. Yet without them, there have been an advancement of a culture good for all people. These benefits march in lockstep with a benevolent God. See, this is going on at the same time. For the revolutionary, this knowledge must be destroyed at all cost. The expedient was a public health official who, in the name of science, could cut through the regulations and existing laws for the public face. He would end this scourge. Yet his unchallengeable actions exasperated conditions. In a matter of days, one person of science was able to control the country based on the fear of a virus and a greater fear of reprisals for non-compliant citizens. I was more afraid that when I didn't wear a mask, I'd go to jail than I didn't get a shot. Of course, I had the disease, so I wasn't worried about getting the disease. All right. More than one person, even those on the left, have observed that the virus was a gift to the left to start a quiet revolution that cannot be stopped. Now, this revolution is a different revolution than under Lenin, where violence did not work. So, proposed then, in the late 1800s, a peaceful and early 19th, 20th century, peaceful revolutions. But I must remind you, peaceful demonstrations always turn to violence. So obviously, we have not lived through the trigger to start the day of the Lord. We are still here. The rapture has not occurred. We have seen in the last 2 years the speed at which a world can be brought to its knees and become subject to one person. This may be the pedagogical moment for the left, the learning moment for the left. They have been given a model for world control. The tried and true tools for controlling people are now in place, waiting for the trigger to jettison the Antichrist into place in the day of the Lord, that trigger, the rapture. Now, we can be sure about that since we have Revelation. Well, we may think that the Antichrist will run the well-oiled world like a well-oiled machine in his quest to rule the world. Seals, judgment, trumpets are relatively easily understood or said. But autocracy does not guarantee competence. And where there is no competence, you usually get the reverse. It is expected there will be incompetence to manage the complex world forcing dictatorial rule. As the mass stopped commerce for the non-compliant, similarly, the mass mark of the beast will brutally stop economic and religious activity. Should have put that in there. All of these acts of revolution are indicative of an unrecognized truth, that autonomous man intends to destroy what the Creator God has made and sustained. It matters not how good it is for the citizen, but since all of our existence can be traced to the Creator, His creation, His systems must be destroyed. Since Christianity is the universal bed, a new, better phoenix will rise out of the ashes, a more equitable and rewarding world for all. And again, I say boring. Few politicians see this. This is what's so vexing for some of us. Few politicians see this as the objective of the enemy. They, in their own blindness, believe that the brotherhood of man is a brother in the brotherhood of man as good people having different ideas about how to make things better. It escapes them that the West is facing a societal death, being soothed by the stealth of the boa constrictor. While good men slept and became wealthy, evil has robbed the culture of its Christian influences. Christian culture? Well, there are no issues that are not subject to revision by the enemy. Well, how is this done? Well, it starts by redefining known meanings of words. Here comes Noam Chomsky. The words, the language creates reality as it is perceived, he says. So far the enemy has won the cultural war. Even the family, gender truth, the sense of preservation of the human race has been subordinated to the perverse ideas of destruction. Destroy what God has ordained at all cost, even if it destroys the very existence of its proponents, but alas, it will be worth it. It is surprising that those who oppose this drift towards autonomous man have a collective voice that has no spokesman or controls no media. The opposition to their progress comes from dead weight that they cannot move. We call them the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians. Hence, Christians, by their very presence, become the target of ridicule and scorn in spite of the fact that they fund their ideas. Name one good thing Providence has ordained that is not opposed by the enemy. To this point, it seems that our culture is at a historic low. As we said in the opening, we do not know all the history to make this comparison, but it is true that today anything Christian worldwide is in peril of the left's machete being swung through the earth. As we enter one of the most significant chapters describing the tribulation, Isaiah 24, we have been alerted to conditions that will trigger the rapture as the judgment of the earth begins. We have been privileged in our lifetime, at least in my lifetime, to see Israel back in the land. That is one trigger. For this bomb to go off, it's going to have two trigger pulls. That was one already has been pulled. The second one is waiting. When autonomous man has rejected every modicum of truth, decency, and usefulness, that the Lord will rescue his own before the great destruction begins. And that is the end of the lesson.